I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 45, Nate is tying knots and taking shots. A game is afoot, and it's a mini draft made for the South. And guys, we can't stop talking about this bucket.
What's new, Nate?
You sounds like you said that with some form of like
trepidation,
intrigue, maybe. As you know, I'm on a little bit of a fly fishing craze recently.
I don't like the way this has started already.
Can we set up what's happened here? It's 8:30. This is later than we normally record. It's my bedtime, quite honestly. And we all get set up, and Travis makes conversation with Nate and says, "What you been doing tonight, man?" Okay, go ahead.
I went to a fly fishing clinic. Fly tying clinic, not a fly fishing clinic. A fly tying clinic at the local fly shop up here in Atlanta. And that's where I've been. That's why we're recording later than normal, because I had prior engagements to do this.
Travis's jaw is on the floor.
Speechless.
I don't know what to say right now in response to this situation.
I don't have any feelings about it.
Who are you?
I know, it's weird, man, I'm telling you.
Can you make earrings
really
out of fly lures?
Sure.
Did you tie a beetle?
A little beetle, yeah. I tied a little beetle, and I tied a larger streamer.
That I'd wear. That's
Is that got some mylar in it?
Yeah, it's like, it's not, I don't know what this stuff is called, but it's like shiny, like golden copper. Kind of looks like a clouser almost, but with flashy stuff.
You need to learn to tie a lefty's deceiver.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's what you need to tie next.
I will do my best.
Okay, first off, we'll be taking applications for co-hosts.
No, we will not. I have a question. Did you go with people, that, like someone, or you just are like, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and go to this thing?
As I talked about last week, the club that I went to the meeting, right?
Yeah, you got a card.
I did not get a card. There's no cards involved. But they do this, they kind of put on this fly tying clinic.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I'm going to go because I'm interested in tying flies. So
I love this because I always want to go do things where there's people, but I cannot make myself leave the house. I'm a little bit like your sister.
Right.
In that regard.
Right.
But you just like did it.
But that's the thing. Like I moved up here kind of sort of blind. I mean, I know some people up here, but I'm just trying to get out there and find some people that have the same interests as me.
Yeah.
And one way to do that is to go to these things blind and just like show up,
such as a fly tying clinic.
Correct.
It's like that. That's the Tinder of the outdoorsman world.
I feel like we need to restart the entire episode. Like I just don't even know. I'm so off my game right now.
Let me get you back on track, because I've got another kind of what's new. We are recording this on a Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday, which is the first annual BHA pint night in the Atlanta area.
Nice.
So okay. Next podcast, I will have a report on that.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'm feeling better.
We're back solid ground.
We're kind of getting back on track here.
I'm feeling better because you're talking backcountry hunters and anglers and not fly tying. Fly tying clinics.
They kind of go hand in hand a little bit. But, you know.
I'm not sure that I agree with that entirely.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, can you grab my phone off the couch behind you? Because I just started hitting record because of this whole fly tying situation. And I got out from under me. I'm a little off my game right now. Thank you.
What's new with you, Travis?
I'll tell you what's new with me is I'm booking duck hunts.
Exciting. Exciting times are upon us.
Exciting times are upon us. And also mercifully, because I'm also canceling fishing trips as quickly as possible. So if you want to help the podcast out, help our family keep food on the table, you could do that by buying a t-shirt. You could do that by booking a duck hunt. You could do that by booking a fishing trip into the Red Tide.
Right. The Red Tide special. What is the Red Tide special, Travis?
Well, unfortunately, we don't change our rates due to the Red Tide.
Oh.
But no, we've just, man, it's just been so lousy out there. The bite has actually come back, but for a lot of clients, like with kids and stuff, you can't put them through that. Like, it's just a bad experience. So
yeah, no, I
free
agree.
Cough drops for all clients.
Yeah, well, it's not just the red tide. If you listen to this and don't know, the red tide will cause throat irritation, and it's just like you just got over a cold. That's what it feels like in your throat.
Right, your throat's a little itchy. You start to cough a little bit.
But more than a little congestion.
But
more than anything, it's the smell of the dead fish.
Right, and it's bad.
These weren't tarpon charters, which the tarpon where we fish have kind of moved up harbor, and that bite's still pretty good. And the water's real dark because of all the tannic acid. But as far as the backcountry goes, I mean, there's some fish around, but getting to them and you just got dead fish. It's just not the experience that you really want to sell to people.
Right. Yeah.
So all that said, we are taking deposits for duck season and filling up. So please book now, book early, book often. Couple things on that. Friend of the show, Cheyenne LaBar.
Yes, I know her.
Nate, you used to work with her mom, and inadvertently, she won our youth duck hunt giveaway last year.
Right.
Evidently, she is now a quack addict.
And she has booked a hunt?
She has reached out to me about booking a hunt to take her dad on a duck hunt. So.
Oh, great. Well, let me know what weekend they do that or what day they do that, and I will try to make it for that hunt.
Okay, good deal, man. I'm excited about that. Cheyenne is what, 14, Nate?
Yeah, I think she's 14.
13, 14. So it's good that we're building up a future generation of duck hunters. And going along with that, one of our goals here on the show is to give away several duck hunts this year. With the contingency being, we're giving them away to where somehow one of the hunters on that trip has to be a first or new duck hunter.
Right.
So something we're really passionate about is recruiting some people into the fold. So keep your eyes out for that. There's going to be some opportunities for you guys to win some duck hunts.
Yeah, I like that.
What is new with you, Emily?
We got new reviews.
Woo-hoo! Two new reviews, right?
A lot
right?
of them. I think three. Savage Bow Hunting left a review. Don G. Biggin. Left a review, and North Florida Outdoorsman left a review. So I think we have three.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
Do I have time for all three?
Yeah, do them.
Okay. Really quick, Savage Bow Hunting says, "This is such a relatable podcast for me. Could easily be me and my buddies talking. It's so honest and real. If you like fishing, duck hunting, the outdoors, food, etc., it's hard to miss here." So pretty solid review there.
Yeah, and he's actually, I followed him on Twitter, or he followed me on Twitter. I'm pretty big on Twitter lately.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I almost forgot. Huge announcement. Travis has been tagged in a post by Hype Beast Music. So we've officially crossed over.
Yes. We're in the rap game now.
Yes. They're congratulating him on his latest releases. They're big fans.
My new single is evidently fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
Straight fire.
If you're a new listener, you may not know that there's a rapper on Twitter. His handle is Travis X Thompson. But Travis Thompson, the duck hunting guide, fishing guide, gets tagged as the rapper.
So this is, I've been tagged by Macklemore. I've been tagged by the Tonight Show. And now Hype Music has tagged me.
I didn't know the freaking Tonight Show.
So it's kind of been a big,
wow.
I'm starstruck a little bit.
He's a little bit of a big
deal. I never thought I would be a well-known rapper.
Well, dreams do come true.
Yeah, none of us did.
Anyway, I followed this Savage Hunting guy.
Mm-hmm. Savage Bow Hunting
on Twitter, and he asked something about podcasts, and I just messaged him and said, "Hey, check out this show. You might like it, you might not. You know, let us know if you do." Evidently he liked it. So thank you very much for taking the time to leave a review and
absolutely
checking us out.
Yeah, that was cool of you. The next one is, I love this handle and I don't know why. It's probably because he spelled Biggin. It's Don G Biggen. Biggin. I don't know if that's your last name or what, but I just like it. He says
we'll insert a cricket sound effect right there.
Because you know in the South you say, "Hey, that's a biggin." So I don't know if he's spelling it that way on purpose or that's
Don,
his last
if
name.
If you could provide Emily with some clarification with that, we'll never mention it again. And you can
sorry, Don.
Sate her.
He
says,
"Okay, 5 stars. Man, these guys put on a good show. Easily my favorite outdoors podcast, and I listen to a lot or a bunch. I don't even live in Florida. Plenty of good stuff on here for anybody, just about anywhere."
That's glowing good review. That's my favorite kind of review.
Yeah, mine too.
Because we are a Florida podcast, but we try to be.
You don't have to be from Florida to listen to it. Yeah. We talk about Florida issues, Florida fishing, Florida hunting, but we talk about wider fishing and hunting as well. So
we talk about issues that I think are kind of transcend just Florida, and I think we really try to be. Our model is so unique. in the way right. we discuss the things. And I think a lot of people, that resonates with a lot of people. It reminds
me. Yeah, I agree.
I tell people sometimes, I'm like, this is like the conversation you and your buddies have at the bar after a trip or at breakfast after a trip.
Right.
You know, that stupid conversation. This is that.
Yeah. What if?
Anyways. Okay.
You got one more?
I got one more. This is from North Florida Outdoorsman. He says, this is another 5-star. The podcast hits home on so many levels, from boat snacks to the shotgun draft. Being an avid outdoorsman in the Sunshine State, it's nice to listen to a podcast that's built around the outdoors in Florida. Keep public lands in public hands.
Wow. Hey, a BHA or nice.
I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a backcountry guy.
Yeah, he named my two favorite episodes, by the way. Boat snacks and the shotgun draft are my favorite ones.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, the shotgun draft, we had a co-host. We had Hunter Jackson as a co-host for that episode.
Loved him on the show.
He may come up in my release item this week.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, snap.
He's my favorite co-host that we've had.
We got some beef in the rap
some
game
shade
over here.
At Austin and Kaylee and
and Matt. And our parents.
Yeah. What anyway. Is it when the rappers get into a fight? What do they call
it? It's
that?
A beef, man.
It's a rap
you got a
battle.
Beef going on
yeah,
in the rap
like
game.
Also, just to confirm even further, if you guys hear weird sound effects in the back, we have a 16-year-old bird dog that's roaming around the table. Emily just gave him a pig ear.
Yeah.
We usually have him settled down in the back, but in this particular episode, if you hear anything weird, it's because he's got a pig ear in his tickled
yeah.
feet.
And he's 16 and we don't discipline him anymore, mostly because he can't hear.
Or see or yeah.
We're gonna do a bird dog draft at some point, or a sporting dog draft at some point. We're looking for the third expert on that, or the only expert on that.
Anyone
to participate with us. But Coleman the Wonder Dog, in his heyday, he ate I think the first 5 doves he retrieved. Bones, feathers, and all.
That's pretty impressive right there.
That was at the dove field in Homeland, Nate.
I think a game is the foot, Nate.
Uh-oh. A game is the foot.
Which we've had, by the way, we had a huge day yesterday when we released episode 44. So now we're recording 45. But I think we have a lot of new listeners, so I'm just going to fill them in really quick. If you're new here, we do this segment called A Game is the Foot. Obviously, that is not the saying.
Nate, where does that come from?
Parks and Rec, Andy Dwyer.
Andy Dwyer, he has a case of the missing computer in one of our favorite episodes, and he looks into the camera and excitedly declares, as only Andy Dwyer could, a game is the foot. So now we have it as a segment in the show. And today's game is, Travis,
A mini draft
of sweet tea at fast food restaurants.
Oh boy, here we go.
This was, and the sweet tea wasn't requested, but a lot of people were like, man, you should do more drafts. So we're trying to, you know,
incorporate rando drafts every now and then.
Yes. So
can I tell you, I was
first pick in this.
Well, let me just, we can cut this out if you want to, because it gets a little sappy. But I was doing Googles about sweet tea. Like, has anybody else drafted it? Are there quotes about it? Fast food sweet tea. And I came across this quote and I love it so much. And I want to quote it. And if you want to cut it out, we'll cut it out. Okay, it says, growing up Southern is a privilege, really. It's more than where you're born. It's an idea and state of mind that seems imparted at birth. It is more than loving fried chicken, sweet tea, football, beer, bourbon, and country music. It's being hospitable, devoted to front porches, magnolias, moon pies, and Coca-Cola, and each other. We don't become Southern, we're born that way.
I like that.
I love
that's
that
good.
Quote
that's
so
great.
Much.
That's pretty good.
It reminds me of like sweet tea people.
That sums us up.
I felt like it did.
And I feel like it does.
Let me say this to our listeners that are not local to where we live. We're nestled in the middle of Florida in Polk County. And Polk County has its own special version of the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like the term Polk County redneck is like this isolated group within Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely the South.
It's a culture and it's
when
own.
You hear, yeah, when you hear Florida, don't think Disney World or Tampa. Think that's where we're coming from.
Think Polk County.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so back to the mini draft of sweet tea. This is only fast food chains. So are we defining a fast food chain as
it's fast food chains? I thought it could be anywhere.
Oh, I thought it was fast food.
No, I thought it could be anywhere.
Okay,
are you drafting?
Scratch that. No, I'm not drafting.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm running it. Okay, so it's any restaurant, doesn't have to have a drive-thru.
Yeah, the best, Nate and I will each do our three best sweet teas.
Okay. A coin toss has been done and Nate gets to go first. Mostly
Nate
because
always goes first in the draft.
We've picked on him a lot about fly fishing.
This is true. This
and
is
so
true.
The coin fell in his favor.
I deserve
favor.
First pick. Here we go.
All right, what do you got?
I'm going to go you were going to disagree with me, I guarantee it. But I'm going to go Sonny's Barbecue.
That's on my list.
Whoa.
As the best restaurant sweet tea.
Sonny's has fallen.
I agree with you, but in its heyday.
It's like Rome.
Yeah, in its heyday, it really was Rome of the sweet tea empire.
And I don't eat Sonny's without getting a 32-ounce sweet tea
still
in a styrofoam cup.
Wow.
Like, it doesn't taste right if I don't have a sweet tea.
I don't eat Sonny's without getting a hair in my food. I've never eaten there without getting hair in my food.
Cutting that out. Well, that's graphic.
Well, yeah, that's
disgusting.
Gross.
All right, my first pick would be, because Sonny's was my second pick, my first pick would be Fat Boys Barbecue in Lake Wales, Florida.
That's a good pick.
That's why I was worried when you said it might be fast food.
They have some good sweet tea there.
Yeah, like there's a key to sweet tea if you don't live in the South. Obviously, it's sugar added to tea. But there's a key to that. You can't do like syrup. It's got to be like real sugar brewed and brewed tea.
The tea's got to be hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
If the tea's not hot, you get grainy tea. Nobody wants grainy tea.
Thank you. It's like when you
go to a restaurant that doesn't have sweet tea. You're like, hey, can I get a sweet tea? And they're like, well, there's sugar on the table. I was like,
yeah, I'll bring you a
sweet
tea.
No, that's not
sweet
tea.
You know what you do? You toss it in their face.
Yeah.
You say, no, bring me a Coke or a Dr. Pepper.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Nate, second round pick, mini draft, go.
Second round, I'm going to go with Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I knew you were going Chick-fil-A there. I knew you were going Chick-fil-A.
And it depends on which Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Not all Chick-fil-A's are created equal.
No, the Winter Haven Chick-fil-A is terrible.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's like the worst Chick-fil-A sweet tea I've ever had in my life.
It's like they go ahead and take unsweet tea and make it sweet tea for you.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. The ones in Lakeland, South Florida Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the bomb.
Every other Chick-fil-A in the world is the bomb except that one.
Except that one. I agree. I agree with you.
Moderator would like to declare that Nate gets bonus points for choosing Chick-fil-A because it's also like tithing.
It is. Yeah, you get to deduct that from your taxes.
Jesus points. I get some Jesus points for that one.
All right. My second pick, if I'm going fast food, would be Popeye's sweet tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet tea from Popeye's. That's legit stuff right there.
I think I have. Yeah. It's like real. They advertise as real cane sugar sweet
tea. They do.
Right.
And it's really good. Really
it's
good.
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's an obvious pick.
You got another one?
Yeah, I'll do one more.
All right, more. All right.
I'm going to go McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Their sweet tea is so good.
Surprisingly good.
But they get a mark down because recently they stopped putting sweet tea in styrofoam cups.
Yes, agreed. They
like
protect
communists.
The they've protected the environment. However, they've diminished
how
the sweet tea experience.
How is plastic any better? How is plastic any better than some styrofoam? I don't understand.
The other saving grace of McDonald's is if you, as a Southerner, you're ever on a distant travel somewhere, McDonald's will save your bacon with some sweet tea.
Sweet tea. There you go.
You're like in D.C. or Boston or New York for the week, you can get some sweet tea.
Do you have a third round pick?
My third and final round pick is Beef O'Brady's, which is a wing place in
Central
Florida.
Get out of here with that.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Fantastic sweet
tea.
They
really do have good sweet tea. I forgot about that.
It is one of the better sweet teas you can get.
Mm-mm.
I agree with that.
Nate's the winner.
How is Nate the winner?
Because he picked Jesus Tea. And McDonald's.
And Sonny's.
Sonny's.
He should be disqualified for picking McDonald's.
You should be disqualified for saying Fat Boys because they have carpet in their kitchen. Like, that's the nastiest restaurant in America.
Yeah.
Nate wins.
So good.
Twas
carpet
ever thus.
In restaurants is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. But it's so good, man. Mm-hmm. Their biscuits and gravy with a big glass of sweet tea.
Mm. All right.
I think that was a fun game, being the foot.
That was a great game.
For it being a foot, it was a great game.
Do you call it a foot?
A game is the foot.
The foot.
No, but it's the a foot.
That, yeah, I mean, if you're going to word it like that, then the game is a foot.
Smelly foot.
So we have, we've titled today's episode, who knows? Like when you say that, it's kind of weird because you don't know when anybody listens to it. We've titled this episode.
There you go.
Random Thoughts Post iCast Edition.
I like it.
So
did we write this for Florida Sportsman?
We'll see where this goes. We consulted Florida Sportsman on the headline.
Random Thoughts, post iCast edition. The 2018 journey that Travis took. He will now.
To iCast.
He will
Orlando,
now review
Florida,
the following products.
I'll just kick it off right here. We talked to FWC at iCast. I think we've made 3 phone calls, and I get it. Like, FWC is a monolithic organization. There's a lot of people that work there. There's a lot of people you got to connect with. And
it's the government.
It's the government, and I would be leery of coming on a show like this because you don't know if somebody's going to try to set a trap for you or anything else.
Right. What their intentions are and things like that.
So it was really nice. I was able to meet several people there, get some contact information, and we're trying to schedule something to get clarification on several pressing issues that are always at the forefront of our show. Nate, do you have any guesses as to what we want to get clarification on?
What clarification? Like what kind of, like you talking about clarification of game laws?
Yes. What game law would be discussed frequently on this program?
Oh gosh.
How many beers did they have at the fly fishing clinic?
Not enough, apparently.
Emily, do you know what game law we would discuss?
Yes, limits.
Possession limits.
Possession limits. And how that works, because if you go on like an AM hunt and you kill your limit and you bring it home and put it in the freezer, if you go on a PM hunt, are you still held to the limit of the morning? How does that work?
Correct. That's a good thought.
In fish world, once you turn it into meat, it's no longer counts in your possession limit. Is it the same for waterfowl?
Oh my God. If that's the rule on waterfowl, you're going to go out the first day and never be able to hunt again.
Right.
Because you don't ever butcher them. They sit in my fridge and scare me to death for months.
It's good to properly age your meat.
That's what she said. Modeled versus hybrid versus mallard.
You two, if both of you were within reach, I would smack the back of your heads.
Yes.
That wasn't the first thing to come out of your mouth.
But that's not a game law, though. That's a duck identification.
Yeah.
But it pertains to game laws because there's certain.
But here's the thing. Here's what I would like to know as a podcast host and an outdoorsman. There has to be some rule that a warden follows for determining if what you have in your bag is a mottled, a mallard, or a hybrid.
That's a good thought.
And it seems to be kind of open to interpretation. And I would like to go ahead and get some clarification around that. Because you see a lot of what I feel are mistakes being made. If those aren't truly mistakes, we should be harvesting a lot more birds than we are. Because we're playing it pretty tight with our modeled rulings at this house.
Do you think that all the FWC guys have on under their uniform one of our T-shirts that helps identify between the three?
I would offer to cut the FWC guys a deal on the T-shirts if they needed them as part of their uniform.
That would be amazing. Awesome. That would be absolutely amazing.
Okay, is that all we wanted from FWC?
Yeah. We also want to ask. I mean, we've got some other. We just fishing related stuff, some fisheries management stuff, and so we're not going to do a whole episode with FWC, but we're going to try to start to sprinkle those interviews in over time. So
if we can convince them to talk to us.
Yeah, no, and I think they're willing to. Like after talking with them, I was like, look, we're not trying to set a trap for you guys. We like FWC. We're fans of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that the message that gets out is the message you want to get out, but we want to make sure that we can help get it out in a positive way.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully something good will come from that. And I feel optimistic about it.
So you went as part of the media for this trip to ICAST.
Yep.
Representing the podcast.
Yep.
And I think you were telling me that the media gets to vote on, or you may have even mentioned this in last week's episode, the media gets to vote on best in show. They get like their own time to look at products.
Correct.
So we talked about some of those products back in episode 44, if you guys want to go check them out. But weren't you telling me you thought it was kind of an interesting process?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a janky process because, can I say that?
You can say janky. That's from.
Janky is okay. I don't know what jinky is.
Isn't jinkies from Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, that's what Daphne says. Or Valerie. Vilma.
Jinky,
that's her
Scoop.
Name. Vilma.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know.
It's a weird process. And it's a weird process because to win these awards, it's a big deal. Like you get a trophy and stuff. There's no real way, in my mind, that the awards are a little bit hollow if you're not a newcomer. And what I mean by that is, take Florida Fishing Products, our guys. They've been on the show before.
Right.
We like their products. They entered one of their fishing lines into Best of Show. So you walk into a room and there's a table with a bunch of fishing lines sitting on it. Boxes of fishing line. And then you vote on which one you like the best. Now, what are the flaws in that, Nate?
There are lots of flaws in that, Travis. Like you don't fish with the fishing lines.
Right.
You have to look at them in the package.
You didn't cast with it. You don't understand how abrasion resistance or wind.
How does it tie?
Exactly. Visibility, any of that stuff. And so somebody wins Best of Show for fishing line, and they didn't really,
based on like looks and packaging alone.
No one in the room has touched the product.
So guess who wins Best in Show and fishing line?
Power Pro.
He knew it without looking at the notes, because it's true. The only people that are going to win, unless you have some, like we talked about Siegler reels last week, the fly reel with the lever action drag. That's so innovative. That's the only way a newcomer I think can crack the best in show. The cauldron.
Just make something that's so totally, you know, crazy, innovative or creative that you just catch people's attention.
Yeah, because otherwise, like the Florida Fishing Products reel was entered for new reels. And it's sitting next to Marlin reels, and it's sitting next to Pin Slammers, and it's sitting next to, it's like no one recognizes your brand. How are you going to compete with that? And guess who,
right.
Guess who wins best reel? Shimano.
Shimano, yeah.
Guess who wins best new boat accessory? Yeti. Guess who wins best clothing? Huck.
So they win the best in their category, but they are not being, it's not for innovation, it's just for name recognition.
It's exactly, like there's no, I'm not saying the Power Pro line wasn't the best in show, but I'm saying there's no way to really determine that it was or wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they released a new line that was a different color or something doesn't make it. Costa won best in sunglasses. And it was a different frame. That's not really, to me, it's not speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels really kind of hollow.
Yeah, I agree.
At the same time, I don't think it diminishes what Siegler Reels did or what the Cauldron guy did.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it actually speaks to how innovative their ideas were, because it won even despite not having name recognition in that arena.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I just thought that was super interesting.
It's good for people to know who aren't there.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you go out shopping at Bass Pro or like in a magazine or something,
ICAST Best.
You see Best in Show, that doesn't maybe carry as much weight as it would have before.
Yeah. At the Best of Show ceremony, it was Shimano, Yeti, Garmin, Huck, Costa, Power Pro. Those were the winners.
Yeah.
Live Target.
I mean, that, yeah.
Live Target won for lures, and I felt like they actually had the best lures, but still, no one's used them. No one's seen the action. And it was just, it's kind of an odd thing. So.
Yeah, I get it. Also, last week you were talking about some waiter stuff. I can't really remember, but did you have anything to follow up on that?
Yeah. So there were actually surprisingly a number of waiter companies at ICAST.
Oh, okay.
Hodgman was there. I talked to Hodgman. Talked to Caddis, which is like, I've heard of them before. They're like an out west Oregon type.
More of like a fly fishing type waiter.
Frog Togs, a company called Compass 360, and Sims was there.
Okay.
And the first four that I named, all four of the guys I talked to at those booths said, we make the best waiters with Sims. So Sims is generally regarded as a premier waiter manufacturer.
Yeah,
in the industry.
Yeah, they are.
But of the others I talked to, I was looking for breathable waiters for duck season, right? Because that's the thing you got to have in Florida.
And absolutely.
Emily wants in on that.
Yes, she does. Who's listening that has waiters for women?
Caddis claimed that they have a 2% return rate on their breathable waiters. That's how many get returned as damaged.
Okay.
Frog Talks can claim they had a 5% return rate on breathable waders. So that's way less gooder than Caddis.
Right.
And they
a whole 3% less gooder.
Frog Talks also told me that they're the only ones on the market that has a removable insulation liner. So you could have breathable, non-insulated, breathable, insulated.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought, wow,
right.
That's really cool. He's like, yeah, it's patent pending. We're the only one on the market. Then I went and talked to Compass 360, and this guy used to work for Frog Togs, Hodgman. He's been around the block a time or two. He said they have a 1% return on breathable waders. So lowest by far. His name was Drake Maples. And that's a great name for a wader manufacturer.
It
right?
is.
Drake?
Yeah.
His also had a removable liner. So even though Frog Togs claimed that they held the only removable liner, his had a removable quilted interior. And he makes waders for Hardcore.
Okay.
Which everyone in duck hunting has heard of Hardcore brands.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I really was impressed with the Compass 360 wader. Like, the dude makes a good product. He stands behind it. Like, he really believes in what he's doing. Mm. And he seems to have been around the industry long enough to really be able to speak to the ins and outs of it. I really think I'm going to look at those Compass 360s for this season.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check those out, too.
Which ones were those you just talked about?
The Compass 360s were the ones with a 1% return.
That had the removable
liner.
And
the removable liner.
And the removable liner.
Okay. Sorry, I got lost in your numbers, so I just wanted to figure out what you were talking
about. And it's branded as a Hardcore waiter, I think. Hardcore brand, which...
And they're breathable when you take the liner out?
And they're breathable.
Hmm.
Well, they're breathable either way. They're breathable with or without the liner.
That's interesting.
The liners in a breathable waiter are like a quilt almost, or like a puffy jacket, like a downy jacket, like a down...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay.
They're super soft, and they're amazing.
Hmm.
I like my insulated breathable waders that I have, except that they leak.
like every pair of waders ever.
Because that was the question I wanted to know is like, can any of you guys really make a wader that will last for a season to a guy that hunts 80 times? Like, are they targeted for the guy that hunts 20 times? And I felt like the guy from Compass 360 was the only one that was truly honest about it. He's like, yes, I make one like that, but it's only this one. You're also going to make weekend warrior waders and stuff like that. So anyway, if you message me, I'll be glad to send you the link to the specific wader he pointed out to me. And like I said, I think that's what I'm going to run this year.
Can you put it in the show notes?
I can.
Another thing we wanted to kind of talk about a little bit was some sunscreen that you found at iCast.
Yep.
The brand is Beyond Coastal, and they sent home 4 samples because he told them I'm a pale face and I would be interested in this. So what I like about this brand so far, that's actually a funny joke I just made because I am like a quarter Indian.
She is,
and
actually.
I am the whitest.
It's funny on a number of levels.
The whitest Indian person you've ever seen. So they
Indian
have.
Indian as in like Native American or?
Native American, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Like so much maize, which as you know, my people call corn.
Okay. Let's just clear up that we are quoting a TV episode
of
Modern Family.
Anything up.
Oh gosh. So anyway, this brand is called Beyond Coastal, and I like how they're marketing themselves. So I have 2 tubes in my hand. One is active sunscreen, which is the kind of sunscreen that blends into your skin so it doesn't leave the white showing, and it only goes up to SPF 34. Nate, have you ever heard of a sunscreen at SPF 34?
34? Like
yes.
What does the extra 4 do? Like, why don't I just make it 30?
That's the highest they can rate it and still be truthful about what it is. Because I think anything over 35, they said, isn't really real.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of games played with SPFs and sunscreen.
Gotcha.
I kind of loved that they did that. So they sent a tube of like body sunscreen and a little face stick. And
what
they,
color is that bottle?
This is blue and yellow.
Yellow? Like so much maize, which you will remember.
Means corn.
Means corn.
But anyways, it's just fascinating to me because I deal with sunscreen a lot in my life. The active face stick, it looks like petroleum jelly or like Vaseline jelly.
Yep.
And it's the kind that blends into your skin, of course. And then the natural sunscreen is the other kind they offer, and it's white, almost like
zinc.
Like
oxide. It is zinc oxide.
And it comes with a little, what do you call these?
Like a tin? Looks like an Altoid tin. Like a round Altoid tin.
And it's like a face and lip, but look at it.
Yeah.
It's like you're putting white clay on your face.
Oh, gosh. It looks like surf wax or something
like
that.
It does.
Yeah, you know what? Like
But it's legit white on my finger. Like, it's white.
Yeah.
It will rub in.
It will rub in.
And we are, in our family, because we are so fair-skinned, we're a sunbum Neutrogena family when we're in the sun. And we use, like, the sunbum zinc oxide on our face, or we use Neutrogena on our face. It's good to see some competition
in the field.
Market,
yeah,
I feel like it.
The natural SPF 30 stuff, so this is the kind that'll kind of might read a little bit white on your skin, is gluten-free as well. And it says it's real safe.
Gluten-free, so people who have gluten allergy can eat it?
Yeah.
Can you get a gluten allergy from touching sunscreen?
Oh, I guess the active is gluten-free too. They're both gluten-free. Is all sunscreen gluten-free? Can
I don't
someone
know.
Report back
Maybe
on that?
Maybe that's a thing.
Listeners, you have homework. Let us know.
So it'd be a nice like midday snack for a gluten-free person at the beach.
Just squirt some on a cracker and get at it.
Yeah, there you go.
Wouldn't start up your IBS.
A gluten-free cracker.
A gluten-free cracker. Way far off the
rails.
Do
you think anyone is still listening?
No, not a chance. Someone take this rain. The rain.
So I think you mentioned that you saw Drake waterfowl.
Yeah, not Drake the rapper. We Drake the rapper and I we collab on other stuff.
No Hotline Blings.
Right.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Nate.
That was outstanding. Yeah, Drake is getting into fishing apparel.
That's interesting.
Did you notice that their logo was different? They changed their logo.
Yeah. Isn't the eye like now a fish hook?
The eye now has a fish hook in it, which I did think was pretty creative.
Yeah, that's pretty creative. I agree.
Zill the
duck in that.
Here's the thing, dude. Like, this is a hot take. Why? Like, I don't get why.
I don't get it either. I feel like they are just trying to reach into a space to create some competition, but there's already a ton of competition there. Like, are they trying to get a little piece of the pie, or are they?
I
don't really get it.
First off, this is the same as the high-end cooler situation, right?
Right.
Like, I would love to release the high-end cooler situation, and I like high-end coolers, but you've got, Yeti, Arctic, Orca, Otterbox, Pelican, the K2, Grizzly, Ingle. Like,
yeah.
How many people out there, like, at some point, doesn't the market get so saturated with high-end cooler brands that you start to have diminishing returns?
Yeah, I would think so.
So it's the same with, to me, like the active lifestyle brand. Like, you've got Columbia and Pelagic and Hook and Salt Life and
Realtree now.
Yeah, like all these people already in that space, are they trying to force out the brands that, like Avid, a brand that we like, or Howler Brothers, are they trying to force those guys out of the market, or are they...
No, it's freaking America. Let them sell what they want, man.
I get it. It's just, it's all just rebranded stuff from China.
If another fishing podcast show showed up, would you say they were trying to push us out of the market? No.
No, I wouldn't say they were trying to push us out of the market. I would say they're being a copycat. And
no.
That's what I'm saying about Drake.
You would say, just like us starting our show, we can do it better than anybody else, and that's why we're trying to do it. And that's what Drake's saying. They think they can do it better. Let them try.
You think they're doing it better, or you think it's just another...
Drake is MAGA.
Drake is what?
Make America Great Again.
MAGA.
Oh, gosh.
That's what
I don't know. I think I'm going to disagree with you on that, because I think the ideal is you want to make a better product. And I think the going back to kind of the tenor of the new product showcase, like people want to make a better product, but because some companies already have brand recognition, they've got a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is just Drake saying, hey, we can take another piece of a pie.
Yeah, I don't know if their clothing is going to be any better quality than... like Columbia or anybody else like that.
Right, but the market and will decide.
Well, I mean, that's true. But your Drake boys are going to buy Drake fishing clothes. They're going to have a closet full of great Drake stuff. I think so.
You think that's going to happen?
They're going to be like, oh, yeah, Drake's in the fishing game.
Same with Columbia, right? Like, my dad's not going to stop buying Columbia fishing shirts to wear to church and go buy Drake.
Okay. Right, but Columbia doesn't really make hunting clothing, though.
Do they?
Or waterfowl clothing.
Yeah, I agree with Nate. Like, they found their lane and they stay in it. They make sportswear. Drake has for a long time made camo clothing.
Specifically to waterfowl.
Specific to water and turkey. Mm-hmm. Waterfowl and
turkeys, yeah.
And then they kind of got into like collegiate wear, and now they're making a jump over into the fishing industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just odd to me. I don't care that they did it. It's just an odd decision to me.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell, and I'm sure they'll be successful because they got enough money to throw behind it. But what I do think is at some point down the road, the market's going to get so saturated in the outdoors industry that some of these companies are going to just suddenly dump particular brands. So you may see, and I'm making this up, Drake, Columbia, and Hook get out of the fishing industry, or Drake, Columbia, and something.
Somebody is sitting on a freaking million-dollar idea if they would make pants, fishing pants for women that work with the You Go Girl. And I've talked about this on the show before, and still no one has jumped on it. So I'm here to help. If you guys are listening, let's work this out together.
The You Go Girl,
the funnel device.
I know what it is. I know what it is. You don't have to explain it to me.
Please, you don't have to explain again.
I'm just saying. There's a whole freaking market out there for stuff like that, and no one is doing anything about it.
You're exactly right. I totally agree with you. Last thing I got is I wanted to follow up. I had so many messages about the Ridge Monkey stuff. Where's my note?
Ridge Monkey. That funky monkey.
I lost my note.
Ridge Monkey. Ridge Monkey put some kind of video about us on Facebook, Nate. Did you see it?
I saw that. It was awesome.
It's bad, eh?
Yeah. So I had a lot of people were sliding into my DMs and stuff about Ridge Monkey, which might be the funniest sentence I've ever uttered on the
podcast. Good one. Well, their products are cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they have cool stuff.
They do.
It's like, you ever go meet somebody and like Nate, for you, you're a very traditional dude. You ever go meet another dude and you're like, you get it talking about it, talking with him, and like, he likes the same baseball team you like, and he likes to hunt and fish like you do. And maybe his girlfriend or wife works in nonprofit, like you know what I mean? Like everything just
right, just kind of lines
everything
up.
You bring up, it just like hits the sweet spot. I feel like that's how Ridge Monkey is to our audience. Like everything they have hits a sweet spot with the audience.
They are solving problems we didn't know we had.
That's exactly right.
Right?
It's so true.
I mean, you flip through their website and you're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Listen.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I think I've turned six people onto the bucket as a blind bag idea.
That was the biggest thing.
I'm going to have one of those buckets.
I cannot tell you how many hours of our marriage we've spent looking at boat storage and saying, why don't we have any square
buckets.
Ways we can make things fit in here where they don't fall over. Like, we're so stupid we didn't figure that out.
Yeah. And anyway, the bucket is amazing. I know that's so silly because last year at ICAST, like, the Yeti bucket came out.
Yeah, yeah. And that one's still round, though.
Yeah. Well, before I went to ICAST, I had already made up my mind. I was getting a Yeti bucket with the divider trays and making that my blind bag this year because it would be waterproof.
Right.
Every person I talk to, I'm like, what's the biggest problem with a blind bag? They say the same thing you did. They don't work.
They leak.
They leak. And
they rip and they tear and they break and the zippers break and all the things.
I'm going to tell you this. You know who started this problem was Drake Waterfowl.
Uh-oh.
They started making a floating blind bag.
Did they
and in your head,
call you on
you
their
thought,
cell phone?
Oh, if it floats, it's waterproof. That is not true.
Untrue.
It will float upside down and soak all of your shotgun shells, and they will all rust before you go hunting again the next day. Ask me how I know.
I know.
How do you know?
Anyway, the thing we did not talk about that several people messaged me about they checked out on Ridge Monkey's website is their lights.
Mm-hmm.
Ridge Monkey does tactical headlamps. They also do this thing called a bivy light, which is like, I think for like a bivouac, like a tent light with a remote control.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's magnetic, so you could stick it to anything, really, that's metal.
I mean, what? How much can you tell me how terrible they are? Because I'm tired of hearing how good they are.
It's like you just want to hand them your credit card and say, take my money.
Yeah, just like, take my money. Know, give me one of everything. Give me one of everything.
Anyway, yes, we are switching to the buckets for blind bags in this family.
That is a genius, genius.
We're
going to
get Nate on board with it. We're getting tons of people on board with it. It's the newest craze sweeping the nation. And then maybe 2 or 3 years from now at SHOT Show, Drake will come out with a square bucket that they can sell as a blind bag.
There you go.
It's terrible.
And Emily will defend them and say it's just the free market.
Nobody would buy it.
This episode has been kind of full of keeps, right? All these great products we're talking about, minus Drake, maybe. we're just going to do a special edition keep and release, but no keeps. We're only doing releases.
Releases only.
Releases only.
Who's going?
This is catch and release. This is catch and release fishing only.
I'll go first.
You're going first?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Have you seen the Finja face guard from Mojo Sportswear?
No. No. What? I don't even know what you just said to me. Okay. Was any of that in English? I feel like Google Translate is going to flag this episode.
Is it Moho or Mojo?
Mojo.
Okay, Mojo. You familiar? We've bought stuff from them.
Yeah. You're talking about the fishing brand.
You're talking about Mojo.
Yeah.
Not Mojo decoys.
Not Mojo decoys.
See, when you say Mojo to a duck hunter slash fisherman, we think decoys.
So when I said Mojo sportswear, that confused you?
It did.
Or were you just not listening?
No, it confused me.
Okay. Sportswear is clothing.
Yep.
That's not a decoy. Okay. They have a new face guard. And I swear to y'all, it looks like a Halloween costume I had when I was like 13 years old. I bought it from Walmart. It's a hood with a face guard that'll come up over your nose like a veil. And you can pull it down.
Come on.
It's like a ninja costume.
That's all it is. Like a ninja. They call it a Finja with an F.
Finja. So like,
yeah.
Stop it.
That's
and I
so
saw
dumb.
It. Do you
stop
see it?
It? Oh my gosh.
It's horrifying.
I can't even make any jokes about this because they're all inappropriate.
Does it look like they're not circumcised when they're wearing it on their face?
That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. No. Listen. Listen, did you find it, Nate?
I'm looking it up right now.
Listen, companies, any companies listening to this, if you want to hire us to say no to things, we'll be happy to sit in meetings and just say, no, that's a bad idea.
I did that for The Loft. I got picked to take a survey on their new fall winter clothing, and I just ripped it to shreds all day. It was awesome.
Finja Redfish, she described this aptly. It's like a hood of a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
Made out of buff material.
With a veil.
With a buff sewn into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $25.
And y'all, if you wait for Halloween, actually, if you wait for November 1st, the day after Halloween, you can get it at Walmart for 90% off whatever it is, retail.
And look like Spider-Man?
And look like Spider-Man and be a baller.
This dude looks like some like samurai master.
Yeah. Let me tell you something else.
It's very weird.
Let me tell you something else. The first girl that I see that weighs 110 pounds and wears a bikini and this contraption.
Are you going to slap her in her face?
No, I wouldn't. I would not slap a girl, period, but I would want to.
I might want to. Push her in the water. Just be stop.
On
just
accident.
Stop what you're doing.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
A bikini and
you
a
just
buff.
Won releases.
Thank you. I got that all by myself,
A string bikini She's going to be like a Playboy model or something, mm-hmm. and she's going to have a string bikini on and this
the
head mask. Yes.
You have to call it what it is. A finja.
I'm not using that term.
That's no.
There you go.
Mojo Sportswear Marketing. Please hit us up and we'll fix this for you.
You failed.
You know the Eric Church song, If I Could Kill a Word? I'd kill Finja.
Finja would be done.
Be over.
What is your release, Nate?
So my release is, since we're talking about products, just the overall cost of outdoor products, period. Like, is this real? This is real, right?
Yes.
So it's so expensive to get into anything.
Anything.
True.
Anything. Fishing, hunting, it's so expensive. And so, like, right now I'm looking at fly fishing gear, right? Because I'm interested in fly fishing.
You should look at Siegler reels.
Yeah, they're $1,000.
Right.
I don't have $1,000. They're a great reel. They're great quality. They look awesome. Super innovative. But I don't have $1,000.
Yeah.
I don't even have like $200 to spend on a fly rod. And it's like, that's just the rod, you know? And then you've got all this. So I'm just releasing the overall expensive products because really it is a barrier for new people who want to get into it. Right?
You're exactly right.
That's a great observation.
We've got this tension, right? Because we all want the best in class to use.
Right.
Like you want the best shotgun, you want the best fly rod, you want the best reel, you want the best boat.
Right.
But we also need to recruit new anglers, new hunters, new fish. And if you create these huge barriers and then you belittle the entry level products because they're not good enough.
Right.
That definitely creates a tension in retention.
Was agreed.
Recruit, retain. There's three R's or five R's.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All the wildlife commissions have plans to get new hunters and fishermen. It's recruit, retain. I can't remember the other one. They're really badly advertised plans.
Report.
Apparently, because we can't remember what the third R is.
All right, here's the deal, y'all. Here's the deal. I texted my buddy Hunter Jackson today. I'm driving down the road.
The beef.
Here's what happened. I had to make a drive. I looked at a boat ramp for duck season, and on my way back, I got to a stoplight and I was listening to Spotify, and the Willie Nelson song, My Heroes Will Always Be Cowboys, came on. How do you feel about that song, Nate?
It's a great song. Classic.
It's a fantastic song, right? And I thought, is it a chance that this might be one of the greatest songs of all time? Like it's a classic country song. So I text my buddy Hunter Jackson and my buddy Tyler, and I say, what's y'all's all-time favorite country song? Okay? Expecting something like Waylon Jennings or something like that to come back. Almost without hesitation, Hunter Jackson texts me back and says, A Few Questions by Clay Walker.
Wait, what?
What? I gotta Google
He
that.
Says... No, I'm sorry. His first choice was Paint Me a Birmingham by Tracy Lawrence.
Oh, that's a great song. That's a great song.
It's a great song,
but it's not like all-time favorite country song material. I'm not in on that.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing some shade at my man Hunter Jackson, who
I would expect better from Hunter Jackson.
Oh my gosh, Clay Walker is old school though. What's the name of that song?
A Few Questions. It's actually a really good, really deep. As I got to reading through it, I didn't know the song at all.
I don't think I've ever heard the song.
It's a super meaningful song asking questions about like why is one person born into poverty and another person's born into like wealth or freedom or.
Oh my God, this song is sad.
It's super depressing. I get the reason he picked the song because it is a very meaningful song, but I was expecting something like.
It's a little out there. It's a little off the wall.
Yeah, Poncho and Lefty or, you know. Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. Or
yeah, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Yeah, something like that. I Walk the Line.
Right, yeah.
And
Folsom Prison.
Without hesitation, I got Tracy Lawrence and Clay Walker. So anyway, that's a big fat release for my buddy Hunter.
That song is heavy.
But you're releasing
it, right? I'm like
teary-eyed. Oh, God.
No, that's a great song. I think I'm supporting Hunter.
She won Hunter over.
No, Hunter won me over.
Hunter won you over. That's what I meant.
Actually, Clay Walker won me over, so let's give credit.
Is Clay Walker old school?
I can remember Clay Walker from when I was very little.
No, he's like 80s, 90s.
I think he's like 90s, 90s.
That's old school to some of us, Trav.
Where do you think, if you made a list of the 100 greatest country artists, do you think Clay Walker cracks it?
Yes, I think so.
I don't think
he does, man.
I think he does. He was like huge in the 90s.
I don't think he's like top 250.
You know who makes the top five?
Not Garth Brooks.
Yep, Garth Brooks. And yes. Right behind him is Kenny Effin Chesney.
Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
Woo! Stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where there's no shoes, no Kenny Chesney, and no problems. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review on iTunes. It's super simple. You can just tap the 5 stars or leave a comment and get featured on the show. If you want to weigh in on our sweet tea mini draft, tell us where your favorite sweet tea is made. Make sure to give us a shout out on social media. We are everywhere at Cast and Blast FL. If you need more info on the products we mentioned today, like the Ridge Monkey Bivy Light, Beyond Coastal Sunscreen, Drake Fishing, or Hardcore Waders, head over to castandblastfl.com. Look for the show notes and click on episode 45. You'll find links to all the products we mentioned today. Later.